This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
You're live with Dr. Jeff Werper, your host, the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio and on Instagram Live, here for your pets. Anything you want to talk about, now is the time. Now is the chance. I'm not thrilled to be back here. No, I really am. But last, you know, doing the show from Cabo was a lot more fun. So anyway, just anything you guys want to talk about, we can talk about. A couple things I wanted to talk about too, because I'm getting, and I don't know if by a show of hands, how many of you have pets that have arthritis? And it's one of those things that we know, as our pets get older, the likelihood of arthritis increases. And speaking of arthritis, speaking of bad joints, I had a bad knee, and I don't know how, you know, when I hurt my left knee, I knew exactly how I did it. And it was a torn meniscus, and I did some rehab, and it's fine. And then my right knee started hurting really, really bad. I couldn't even bend my leg at all. It was the pain was crazy. So turns out I noticed a big puffiness around my upper part of my knee. It was fluid. So I finally had an MRI done. Of course, it's also meniscal tear. I have arthritis, but what 70-year-old doesn't have arthritis? In fact, when I talk to my orthopedic surgeon friends, they go, "Jeff, there's always going to be arthritis, especially a guy your age. So don't even worry about that." So it turns out there was a lot of fluid. So I went to a friend of mine who's an orthopedic surgeon, and he drew off about 48 cc's of fluid out of my knee. It was a game changer. I mean, literally, I was limping in and I walked out. How that can make such a big difference. It was crazy. Anyway, I'm feeling a whole lot better. But what I realize is arthritis, when you have problems with a joint, it hurts. And one of the things that we are, you know, dealing with now, and or we have to our advantage, of course, we use non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. If it's really bad, we even use steroidal anti-inflammatories. We had some, you know, broad spectrum pain medications, but there's a new medication out there that I have been used with tremendous success. Every veterinarian I know have been using it with tremendous success. And more, if you go online, it is getting buried. So I want to talk about it. It's called Librela. And don't be swayed by what you're seeing and hearing, because there are a lot of issues that are really, it's not fair for the company. And I got to tell you, do my clients call me and tell me the dog's doing better? They call me and say, "Can I come back in for the next shot?" It's a once a month. It works specifically against, it's an immunotherapy that blocks the pain receptors from arthritis. So it literally stops the pain. It's unbelievable. These dogs are like I felt being able to run upstairs again easily. That's what it's like. First of all, how many of you have heard of Librela? How many of you have heard bad things about Librela on these groups, these Facebook groups? It's unbelievable to me. And I remember when Rimadyl first came out, it took a huge hit. And now it is 15 what plus years later or more, and it's still in tremendous use. Then I remember when there was a problem with Trifexis and Comfortis and Elanco, they basically hired me to come in and do some media for them as far as pain, as far as control, damage control, because they were getting buried. And it wasn't fair. I'd say the internet is a great source of information, no doubt about it. But it's actually, sadly, a greater source of misinformation. So when you have these people that are not trained, that I don't know what they're talking about. They haven't done the research, the studies, and they're going from what their friend said and this friend said and that friend said. And then they say, "Oh, this stuff is terrible. It's going to kill your dog." Guess what? It's not. And let me just wave hi to some people. Okay. All right. So there's a question here. My stomach issue still doesn't want to eat, and some days he throws up yellow bile. Do you think ultrasound would give us the info? Well, yes, ultrasound could help a lot. Why? because we're going to get back to this Librelo thing. I want to, you know, hear more. Plus, I want more of you on here to listen to this. So stomach issues. So it could be a lot of things. But they vomit bile. Usually it's early in the morning. And that tells you if the stomach was empty. Why? Because if the stomach was full, it wouldn't be just bile. So you have to say to yourself, empty stomach, usually sometime in the morning. I don't know what breed it is, but if it is a, you know, certain breeds are notorious for this, including the French Bulldog, because they're notorious for all problems, but that it is something that we have to deal with. So my recommendations, it's like a gastric reflux. Now, I got to remember one thing. We get that too. We get it. And you know what we call it? We call it heartburn. Why? What happens? The stomach juice, that secretion, comes up and it hits about here. But remember, we're vertical creatures by nature. So it doesn't have enough come up. Sometimes it does. And many of you have experienced it. I have. You get that kind of, you give that wet burp and it's kind of acidy and you feel stuff and then you swallow stuff back down. That's the same thing. So, but dogs, though, are horizontal by nature. So when that stuff comes up, all right, it actually comes all the way up and they spit up that yellow bile. So before panicking, because I don't panic, the thing that I recommend my clients do is this. Number one, this is before drugs. Now, drugs can help too. But the first thing I recommend is a late night snack. I recommend taking maybe a third to a quarter of dinner away, setting it aside, and feed it to them at 10 p.m. if you're still up. Otherwise, at 9 p.m., whenever you go to bed, just before you go to bed. If that alone doesn't work, then I recommend some medication over-the-counter, Prilosec, Famotidine, Pepcid. And you would give an appropriate dose. It's usually a half, a quarter to a half a tab. All right. And you want to give it about, say, the same time. And then 10, 15 minutes later, feed that remaining meal, that remaining portion of dinner. Having something in the stomach and having this antacid medication, the Prilosec or the Pepcid, okay? And that will actually help reduce that probability, that possibility. If it continues in, there's some stronger anti-vomiting meds we can do, but that's usually what it is. It's a reflux disease. Now, why ultrasound helps? Because ultrasound can look for other things too. We've picked up some abnormal wall thickness of the stomach. We've picked up a pyloric stenosis or thickened. So what happens is that the food coming from through the cardiac portion of the stomach, which is where the esophagus meets the stomach, going through the stomach and then out the pylorus, leading to the duodenum or the duodenum, depending whether you're potato or potato. And so when that pyloric muscular ring thickens, then stuff gets stuck and it doesn't shove through as much. And therefore, as the animal keeps eating, but the stuff from the meal before hasn't gone through, they will spit up. So it's not rocket science. Usually, and this is how I often tell the difference, dogs that are doing this and just have the yellow bile spit up, they are totally normal otherwise. They can't wait for the next meal. They're running around, they're playing, so they're not sick. And that's what I love about telemedicine is just by seeing the dog, seeing the cat, all right, I can tell right away whether whatever it is, and I'm not saying it's something you may need not to see your vet for, but it's probably not that serious if the dog is running around and jumping, hopping on the furniture and can't wait for its next meal. They're not that sick. So those can wait and not run to emergency because the dog vomited. How many times have you run to emergency when you vomited? I mean, you think, all right, so I ate something bad, food poisoning, maybe a little stomach virus. You're not going waiting at Cedars for 4 hours. So same thing with animals. Just you got to kind of sit back and look at the big picture. And then you decide, is this something that needs urgent attention? I'm saying it doesn't need attention, but you need urgent attention. If you need to spend three or four times the amount you would with your regular doctor by going tonight and having waiting 4 to 6 hours, by the time you're going to see the doctor, depending on what time you go, you may as well have gone to your regular doctor. He's already 8 in the morning. So these are the things that clearly bother me. So, okay, let's see. People with dogs are doing Librela and they are thrilled. Yes, I agree. We're going to talk more about Librela. Hello, JB. If one dog is already on my thrill or exposed, should I give them all meds? You know, that's a really good question. It depends how neurotic one wants to be. I mean, I I personally like to treat based on symptoms per dog. To assume, and remember, that depending on what you're using for Giardia, Fragile has a limit as to how much you can give and how often you can give it. The fenbendazole is a little bit different, but to prophylactically treat, but I've never been one of these that, you know, gives them once a month wormer. I think it's a waste of money and it's not, you don't need it. I treat for a problem. So if they are having a problem, if the dogs don't have the ability to eat the poop of the other dog or lick their hiney, then most likely they're not going to get Giardia. It's usually picked up by, you know, one dog which, or if they share water bowl, it's possible because they clean themselves, then they go lap up water in a water bowl. Now the you know, Giardia cysts are in the water. Then dog two comes along or dog three comes along and drinks from the same water. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. But these things, like when you go to the dog park, they tell you always be careful because, but then again, you have so many dogs, the likelihood of having these cysts in water is much greater by the number of dogs that are there. But if you have just a single household with a couple of dogs, I don't know. I'm one that would say, you know what, let's wait and see what happens. Treat the one for sure. And then on the others, just kind of wait and see what happens. And also another thing, when it comes to small infections, the body is pretty amazing. So the body might take care of it itself. It may not even have to treat it. So to rush and prophylactically use it. Now, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's your own personal feeling about it. If you want to be very preventive and you fear that it's going to be a problem, and yeah, treat it. That's okay. But I'm one that says, you know what, let me wait and see, because most likely they're not going to have a problem. And maybe of the three other dogs, only one has a problem. This way you treat the one that needs it, instead of just broad-spectrum treating of that. I mean, if we did that, we'd be treating for everything all the time because that dog goes outside. So let's treat it for let's put on doxycycline for kennel cough. Well, but he doesn't have that cough yet. But I know, but he goes outside. I mean, at some point you got to say, you know what? Let's treat the disease and not the fear of the disease. All right, next up, my own craziness. I know, I get it. All right, it's English. Okay, I'm waving. With all these people waving here, someone should have a good question. So, dog is girl. Okay, no, we got that one. All right. So another thing that I wanted to talk about, because, if we talked about the ultrasound wouldn't hurt if you really want to make sure everything was okay. Now, let me talk about another thing. I will talk about Librela. Afterwards, I want more people to be on here to hear this, but I would tell you this, that I'm seeing a lot of dogs with seizures, and you know, this is where, again, it's the different veterinary opinions, and I'll throw my two cents in there, do with it what you want. But so a dog has a seizure out of the blue and everything was fine up until then. And after the seizure, he seems okay. And the question is, what do? You start treating? And so the answer is, there are many answers. Some will do a blood test to make sure the dog possibly didn't get a hold of anything. That's okay thing to do. My concern is that if it was something acute that caused the vomiting, I mean the seizure, chances are we may not even see or having seen any changes in the blood yet. So might it give you information? Yeah, at least it'll tell you everything is good up till now. So now the issue is, when do we treat seizures? And this is where there's a lot of differences of opinion. Mine is, as if you really care, mine is that I don't treat a dog after one seizure. And the reason for that is seizures can just come on out of the blue for no apparent reason. Could have been something they ate. It could have been a reaction. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen regularly. So it doesn't mean that there's going to be epilepsy and something that you're going to have to treat for life. And even if it is epilepsy, you may not need to treat it. So here's the criteria that I've lived by. My good friend, Dr. Rick LeCouter, who was my professor at Davis and went to Colorado State. Now he's back at Davis as an emeritus. And, you know, one thing he taught me about seizures, don't panic. So what we do is I will sometimes do a blood test just to rule out. I mean, that's good medicine. Do I treat after one seizure? Absolutely not. What I do is I tell the client, look, this could be a fluke. It could be no apparent reason. I'm not going to treat because we don't need to treat at all. So I say, let's keep an eye on the dog over the next several months. Now, if he seizes again within a 2 to 3 month period, especially within 3 months, then I'm probably going to start treatment. Okay. But if he doesn't, I'm going to wait again for another and see when it comes. Why? Because even if you treat a dog with confirmed epilepsy and they seize every 3 to 4 months, you don't really need to treat them, because even with treatment, when they start seizing more frequently and you start them on the appropriate medication and you get them to seize only once a quarter, right? Once every, 3 or 4 months. Well, darn, that's the best you're going to get. Well, if you have a dog that's only seizing once every 3 months without meds, why put them on meds? So it's sort of a dance. You got to look at the big picture and really see. So when do I treat? I treat when the tests are normal. There's no other problem. When the dog isn't seizing, the dog is 100% normal. So then it's most likely epilepsy, usually young to middle age when it comes on. And the key really is that when they're not seizing, they're totally normal neurologically. No neuro deficits whatsoever. If there were deficits, that changed the story. Now we might want to do an MRI. So, the key really is the history, the dog's presentation, and then we'll kind of dictate where we're going to go from here. So don't rush into it. And as I said, I'm not a big fan, just to treat. If it's a necessity, if the dog is seizing more frequently than every quarter, then yes, we probably should treat. All right, we're going to break real quick. And on Pet Life Radio for commercials, I'm waving to people that I've not had a chance to wave to. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Librela. During the break, if you have any questions here at Pet Life Radio, on Instagram, ask them now while we're doing commercials on Pet Life. Be back in a minute.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Back on live here on Pet Life. Good question during the break. That is, if you have a dog that is always hungry, do you think they have a health issue? So we're just talking about that now. So I'm saying is, it is possible, but a lot of dogs just have good metabolisms. And if they have a good metabolism and they're eating and they're not losing weight, they're just eating, want to eat a lot more, then that could be fine. Now, if a dog is eating well and has normal stool but losing weight, now I'm thinking, okay, what type of disease can rob the body of its essential nutrients for it to grow or to progress at the expense of the body? We got a couple. First of all, cancer. So when there's a cancer, chances are the patient's going to be losing weight because the cancer is robbing the nutrition for it to grow. Remember, cancers grow by doubling. So if you have a cancer that starts out of 2 cells and goes to 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, et cetera, well, that's going to be slow growth, really, because cells are microscopic. But get to a critical mass, which is about 500,000 cells. Now, in every doubling phase, the 500,000 becomes 1 million, 1 million, 2 million to 4 million. And literally, these tumors grow before your eyes. They're robbing the body of a lot of nutrition. So that's one thing. Heart disease also. In the heart, in the efforts of the heart to compensate for its poor function, it works harder. It also takes a lot of energy. So animals with heart disease also tend to lose weight. Of course, hyperthyroid cats, that's a biggie. When your cat's losing weight, despite a good appetite, first thing I do, I'm thinking thyroid, they're getting a thyroid scan, or I start with the thyroid screen, which is not just T4. You can't tell everything from just T4. This is for dogs too. There are so many times you're going to see a low thyroid T4 in a dog's blood work. And you're going to panic and the doctor's going to start thyroid supplementation. Do not do that. Because thyroid, there's something very commonly known as sick thyroid syndrome. And when the body is going through another challenge, the thyroid seems to drop in value. It is not true hypothyroidism. Okay. In a cat, I always do a T4 by ED in any senior cat, equilibrium dialysis, and sometimes a TSH. You call a full thyroid panel. We do not treat dogs or cats, cats with hyperthyroid, dogs with hypothyroid, without a T4. It's called a free T4 by ED, equilibrium dialysis, and oftentimes a TSH. In fact, I just did TSH because the dog is always on the very low side of thyroid values. They're normal, both free T4 by ED and T4 were normal, but literally the lowest normal. So we added on a TSH. I don't have the results back yet, because if the TSH is high, then we probably have a problem. Because then that, though it may be, it's still normal, and that dog could be just low normal, that's the way it runs, but not a disease. But if TSH is really high, that means it's trying to stimulate the thyroid to secrete more, but the thyroid's not, because it's got a problem. Now, if the TSH is low normal also, then that's the normal for this dog. I'm not worried about it. So anyway, I don't treat either hypo or hyper with just the regular thyroid. So, but back to the question about appetite. So I would do basically a full blood panel. I would check the heart, maybe do a scan, an ultrasound, have a good ultrasonographer come in, do an ultrasound. If you want, you can even do a CT scan, something that will look, or an MRI, to the whole body if one suspects some kind of tumor. But if there's nothing that shows up on x-ray, nothing that shows up on ultrasound, and everything else is totally normal, the dog just likes to eat, then I wouldn't go crazy. I mean, you could go crazy on the diagnostics and cost you a little, small fortune, but chances are, if it was big enough to cause a problem, a good ultrasound would give you an answer. All right, Melody, hello. Dog has a lump near the neck. Can it be caused from a microchip? Well, usually they don't have a lump, but if the body is looking at that microchip as a foreign body and is now walling it off, it could be. So we had one actually just recently, and right over the lump, I did a scan and it blew up microchip. So I'm not worried about it. It's very possible. I would just kind of keep an eye on the lump. There's also a great device that I use, and you should talk to a veterinarian about it because it's phenomenal. It's called the HT Vista. It is a probe, a scan that you put over a lump or bump, either dermal or subdermal. So it's either on the skin or in the skin or under the skin. It's got to be super sub. It won't go. This does not work for anything inside the body. This is skin, just under the skin and on top of the skin. And then what it does, it uses something called heat diffusion technology, and it will heat the area up. You put the probe on the over the mass or the growth in question, and right next to it, the normal skin next to it. It then does the heat. It measures the dissipation of the heat, and it will tell you not whether it's a cancer or not. It'll just tell you this did not behave like normal tissue, or it does behave like normal tissue. If it does, then you can rest assured it's probably not anything really malignant, anything serious, and leave it and keep an eye on it. Maybe take it off with the next dentistry. If, however, it comes back on a scale of 1 to 4, meaning don't know what it is, but it's not behaving like normal tissue, then that is going to, you know, sort of speed up my choice to do surgery and remove it and then have it biopsied. The other option has always been, typically in veterinary medicine and in human medicine, probably do what's called a cytology, fine needle aspirate. But from my experience, many, many of these fine needle aspirates come back inconclusive or non-diagnostic. But you still got a mass there and you still need to know what to do with it. So you just spent $350 on this, on collecting a sample and sending it to the lab for cytology by the pathologist, and you still got, I don't have anything. So I like the HT because that way I at least know Can I take it easy and wait till the next dentistry or another reason to anesthetize and do it then? Or do I need to be more proactive? So when you do fine needle aspirates, you know, you end up, you're going to do surgery anyway, but more right away, especially when it comes back to non-diagnostic, because you still don't know what it is. So not a fan of that, but I love the AXT Vista. And by the way, way less expensive than a fine needle aspirate and cytology. All right. Can dogs have what's this? Hold on. Whoops. Can dogs have a smell on the skin of Giardia? They may, I would not say no, they don't, but it's nothing that I've heard about or read about. You know, maybe what you should do is get a scent dog and have them test and see if they can pick it up, but that's a possibility. All right. I'm waving. Hello. How often is normal dog to poop? It depends. I mean, some dogs poop once, twice a day. Some dogs four or five times a day. All right. We have a lot of visitors here now, which I want to then talk about a little bit more about Librela. So Librela has been used in Europe for over 5 years. They've done millions of doses. Their reaction rate, and by the way, these reactions go to Zoetis, the company. They know when there's a reaction. 1 in 10,000. Now, let's look at this. For those of you who remember a little bit of math, if it was 1 in 100, what would that percent be? 1%. Still pretty low. That means on a test, you got 99%. You're God darn happy. All right, now, let's go if it's 1 in 1,000. That's 0.1%. 1 in 10,000 is 0.01%. That is a very, very, very low reaction rate. The reason why it's getting so let me give you a story that I just learned about because I was talking to one of the Zoetis doctors who's a colleague of mine. And that is the dog had a Librela shot and the next day gets really sick, goes to the doctor, they start doing tests and the dog dies. Oh my God, it's that Librela shot. It's that Librela. Well, they paid, the Zoetis paid for a necropsy at a private lab, did nothing to do with Zoetis. Came out, the dog had a ruptured tumor inside. Had nothing to do with the shot. That dog would have died anyway. And it was the tumor that had been there probably for a while to grow and be undetected. And that's what it is. But those are the stories we're getting. Another thing is, how many young, healthy, fit dogs are needing a Librela shot for arthritis? So most of the time, the dogs getting these shots are already infirm, already older, already sore. And then all of a sudden they die a month or weeks after a shot. It's not that. These go through the FDA. The FDA has made its statement. The testing was totally legit. The product is totally legit. And from my experience and other experience that I've heard from my colleagues since all this craziness has hit the internet is that, oh my God, my patients are doing great. My clients love it, and they keep coming back. It's a monthly shot for more. So, I mean, you got to read through these things with a grain of salt. Talk to your veterinarian. Talk to Zoetis. They'll give you all the numbers because they have to in order to get FDA approved. That's why it's been used in Europe for 5 years already, millions of doses, and we just got it in this past year because of FDA. So they're running through everything. So I would not have any hesitation. Don't listen to that crap you're seeing. No hesitation. If your dog has severe arthritis and they respond a little bit to the Vetprofen, Carprofen, whatever, the Duroxicib, Meloxicam, all the nonsteroidals, that's great. If you should be using, you know, sort of a chondroitin glucosamine supplementation, MSM anyway, that's great. My Flex works terrific. But don't be afraid to try something new if they're still suffering from the pain. Try the Librela. All right. How long? Hold on. Okay. How long for IBD Kitty to stay on budesonide? She's doing better. What I would do, and I'm glad that the cat's doing better. Budesonide is great for this. I would start tapering, and you know, whatever you're giving now, give half that dose, and then from there, if you're giving it every day, give it every other day, and then every third day, and then slowly taper off and see how the cat does. You might reach a point where you're going to have to continue something, but it could be a lower dose. All right. Waving. I just want to let you know that my dog, Lou, lost the battle with renal dysplasia. So sad. Well, you know, it's a tough disease, as we know. And God, very sorry to hear that. And you said say goodbye. And again, I appreciate the kind words. And we do what we can. You know, some of these diseases are bigger than we are. And it, especially something like renal dysplasia. So when it happens, there, you know, a lot of times we're helpless. We just don't know. We're not lucky enough to be able to have the right medication because it doesn't exist. All right, Eloise, like all rescue dogs have issues, not to be allowed by many drugs and dogs. Okay. Yes, that's another good point about the, you know, a lot of people have many drugs. Exactly. Because people don't know. And, you know, again, there's an expression. My dad just uses it all the time when we do stupid things or say stupid things. A little knowledge is dangerous. So when you only have a little knowledge, get more knowledge. Knowledge is king. Don't start spouting from your mouth when you just have a little understanding. So, all right. Okay. So anyway, thank you all for being here. So this week is a big week. We got Tuesday night, Wednesday, we have Christmas. Wednesday night, we also have the first light of Hanukkah. So it's unusual that they literally coincide. First day, Christmas Day is the first light of Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah goes through and just past New Year's, which is insane. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, you know, because the calendars, the lunar calendars, a different calendar, it was Thanksgiving. And now all of a sudden it's Christmas and New Year's. So anyway, have a wonderful holiday season. Drink, but don't drink too much. Enjoy. Hope you get some really, really good presents. I don't know what I'm getting, but we have a couple of, you know, our parties. We do these gift exchange, Elfster. So anyway, it is what it is. I got some really nice things, though, from my clients. Some just stuff like I really need, like more candy, more sweets, more booze. And I like some really nice scotch and some bourbons and wine. So anyway, that's fine. That's stuff that we can use to celebrate the holidays. So that works out really well. All right. Have a great week, everybody. We will be here next week, same bat time, same bat channel, here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram, and looking forward to it. Save your questions, or if it's something really burning, don't wait. Get to hold of me anytime. You can just drjeff@petliferadio.com or Werbs_DBM, or just put in Jeff Werber, and you will get me here on Instagram. But if I can help you, I would love to try and help you, and that's where my joy and satisfaction comes, helping you with your pets. See you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.